in the interest of moving this along, we're going to start the meeting now. Today is Thursday, January 23rd, 2020. We might want to close that door. Thanks. This is the first of the term regularly scheduled meeting of the Real Property Reuse Committee. Present are Andrea Kelly, who's from Ward 3, Councillor Mark Laredo from Ward 7. David Kalis from Ward 8, Chris Markowitz from Ward 4, and our president. Susan Albright from Ward 2. Also present, and I'm Vicki Danberg from Ward 6 chair. Chris Markowitz is also the vice chair of this committee. Also present, we have David Olson, our city clerk, and we have Eamon.
Ben Savengo.
Thank you very much, Eamon, with us. And we have a number of guests. I'm very pleased to see people who are interested, I hope, in commenting when we open the public hearing. So we have one item alone scheduled for discussion tonight. It is item number 65-20. Reuse, this is referred to the Real Property Reuse Committee meeting in reference to the West Newton Armory. Reuse of the West Newton National Guard Armory, number 259-19. Director of Planning and Development submitting on August 7, 2016, a letter recommending that the West Newton Armory, located at 1135 Washington Street, be evaluated for the purpose of leasing the property for redevelopment as 100% affordable housing or for municipal uses pursuant to Ordinance Section 2-7. So let us first, back in November, the Real Property Reuse Committee voted to hold an initial public hearing to hear from the community. The goal of tonight is to hear from the community and the JAPG members who were able to come in regards to what their thoughts are on how the West Newton Armory can be used. The January date for the public hearing was chosen so that the members of the JAPG could attend. So the Planning Department is, Eamon, you are here to give us a statement and give us a little an idea on where we are. And we've just been joined by Amanda Berman, who is our housing person in the Planning Department.
And Councillor.
And Councillor Hamright. Thank you.
And Councillor Greenberg as well.
And Councillor Greenberg is here. Councillor Greenberg from Ward 1. Not a member of the committee, but attending.
Yes, she is.
Oh, you are a member of the committee. Okay, that's why we have a first meeting.
That's right.
New committee.
And yeah. Cam, are you a member of the committee?
No,
you're not. Yeah, of course. Ward 3. So Pam Wright from Ward 3. Let's start with either Amanda or Eamon, whoever would like to begin. Why don't you come up to the come up to the table.
Good evening, everybody. So the JAPG group is up and running. We had a kind of a housekeeping kickoff meeting in December to kind of just, actually it was in this room, and for the group to stretch their legs a little bit and to kind of get a sense of the next 180 days of what they'll be doing. And we really started diving in Tuesday. So 2 days ago was our first substantive meeting. And the group has a chair and a vice chair, and Ted here is the JAPG chair.
We're trying to get out the
right. So they're tasked with finding best future use for the armory, and that recommendation that they'll put together at the end of 100 days will come back to this group. 180 days, right, from December 2nd, I believe, was when the group was fully approved, which would put 180 days to that June 1st.
Now, if they complete their report ahead of time, there's no reason why they have to go the entire 180 days. Is that a hard and fast date that we need to abide by, or if they finish early, do we?
I think
when they finish.
Right. I think if they were to finish early, I don't want to speak for Ted, but I think the members would be happy to conclude their work and. proceed. So that would be the case.
Good. Okay. And I think before we go any farther, now that we have Ted, the chairman, and former alderman and former city councilman, Ted Hesmahan, with us, Ted, why don't you introduce the committee, or have the committee introduce themselves, so that we all know. Are you?
I think I'm the only one here. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Everyone else had conflicts.
Okay. Good. So why don't you give us
introduce them in absentia, but I don't.
No, it's all right. Why don't you give us a little bit of a rundown on the meeting day, night before last?
Sure. So first of all, thank you all for inviting me, not inviting me, as the case may be. It's funny, as I was leaving for City Hall, my wife said the same thing she was saying to me for 16 years, which was play nice with the counselors. So I'll do my best. The first meeting, we went over all the progress so far, which included the special legislation, the application for the housing grant to do the feasibility study, conflicts of interest law, open meeting laws, all of the sort of formalities and procedural things that we have to pay attention to. And we, Susan Parsons, who is the vice chair, and I met with folks in the planning department to go over the timeline. I'm pretty sure that 180 days, we'll use up the whole thing. As you probably already know, the housing grant was awarded to Newton. We went big and got $200,000 for the study. The RFP is still under development. We had actually asked, the committee last night asked, or a group, JPEG, asked to see the RFP to provide some input. This is a remarkable group of individuals. I couldn't have picked a better team myself, so it's really fabulous to work with people who are so knowledgeable and have such a long-time connection to Newton and a number of folks that live in the neighborhood, as do I. So we're looking at all the possible uses, as well as the 100% affordable option. Obviously, as you know, for $1 we can get it if we commit to 100% affordable housing. If it's for any other municipal use, we would pay something along the lines of 25% of whatever the appraised value is. And we talked about this last night. I mean, I can't remember exactly when we can expect to make an award for the RFP, but.
So I think if we can get the RFP out in the next 2 weeks, we could get someone on board in March, probably mid-March-ish.
So that'll give them approximately 3 months. That'll give them approximately 3 months to do the work they need to do before the 180 days expires. So we're going to have to work pretty quickly. My further understanding is that date, while it's a deadline for us to complete the process, is also one that we could extend by agreement with DCAM. We visited the armory, did a site visit, spoke with the representative from DCAM, who indicated to us that, you know, as long as we're working on it, particularly where we've gotten this housing grant to hire somebody to actually do the feasibility study, if that's the only thing hanging us up, is that they want to do more work on that in order to get it right, I don't think we'll have a problem negotiating an extension, but obviously I don't speak for DECAM. But they did indicate that they would very much like to see it used for affordable housing. We will be meeting again on February 2nd to go over the RFPs so that we can, February 4th, excuse me. I knew it is an even number anyway. February 4th, and hopefully finalize it that night so that the next day it can go out. And we've got a bid list. We also have several of the folks on the JPEG know folks who might be interested in doing this kind of consulting work. So we'll get the word around through the planning department, of course. And we will be considering, as I said, all possible uses, including, you know, possibly not using it at all for city purposes, in which case it would go out to bid. I assume DECAM would sell it to a private party for whatever purpose they might have.
At market rate.
At market rate, yeah, right. And there have been a number of things that have come up. I won't go too much farther down into the weeds, but we have spent a lot of time talking about the challenges the building presents. It's a historical building. The Mass Historic Commission and the federal government, which issues the federal historic tax credits, will have a lot of input into what we can and cannot do with the building. Which might not constrain a private developer who was not relying on the tax credits to do this. And I know from, Vicki knows this, from working on the Allen House in the Newton Cultural Alliance, is that, you know, there are a lot of requirements, a lot of hoops you have to jump through to get those federal historic tax credits, as well as from the state. So they might not let us do everything that we would want to do. I can tell you we're going to be meeting with community representatives for other communities that have done something with the armories that DECAM has sold to them. There's also a couple private developments, one in Natick in particular, that they were able to do some modifications to the building. There's no problem with Mass Historic. I don't believe they were using the historic documents, so they didn't have to jump through those hoops. And we did receive a letter of interest from the clerk's office that we will be discussing in upcoming meetings, as well as any other interest that either the community has or that you know, city council or the city brings to us. We're certainly being open-minded about this and trying to do what's best with a building that presents some physical, historic, and practical challenges.
Good. Yes, thank you very much, Ted. Yes,
if I could just provide a little bit of perspective to the committee, because I sat last year with the mayor, with Councillor Gentile. We met, Mr. Yeo was there. We met with DECAM at the time, and DECAM was very clear. You know, as Mr. Hesmahan said, you know, they'll sell it to us for a dollar if we do affordable housing. They'll sell it to us below market value. If we use it for municipal purpose, the number thrown out was approximately 25% of fair market value. I think we all need to be cognizant that could be a little less, a little more. You have to determine value. I don't think we want to be, I wouldn't want to say what that is. I don't think that's a fair thing. But I came away with the distinct impression as well, they like affordable housing, and that's wonderful. That they're open to what we want to do. So DECAM is not the one telling us we must put affordable housing here. I will note, I mean, the administration's position on this has been crystal clear since day one. The administration strongly supports having affordable housing here. That's a fine alternative to think through. I am very concerned that we are not thinking through the other alternatives that are available, including the clerk's specific request for archival space, which he has made very clear. And I'm very hopeful that, and I'm, while I'm appreciative of this grant, because I do think that to evaluate whether you can put affordable housing here or not, you need to really study it. It's a difficult site. I'm concerned that there's no effort at all to get anybody else in there to look at the use for archival space or anything else. And so I'd really urge, because the reason for the JPEG is to, as you know, to guide us in what we vote, because it's going to be our decision, not the administration's decision, as to what happens with this space. And it, the more thorough and detailed analysis you can do of all the alternatives, the better informed we may be. It may be that affordable housing is the best use for this space. I don't know, but I'm very concerned about us not limiting the scope of our inquiry, because whatever we do, we need to be able to go out to the members of the community and say, we, you, and then we did a very thorough job carefully looking at all the pros and cons. Then made the best decision. So I make that pitch because I'm very concerned that this project, since day one, has been headed, and frankly, at the administration's behest, along one particular avenue, which is affordable housing. And I've said repeatedly, that may be the absolute best thing here, but we owe it to ourselves to consider all alternatives, and I want to make sure we do.
If I might, Madam Chair, just address Councilor Laredo's concerns. I feel safe in saying that the entire JPEG shares your concern, and there's a consensus that we're going to look at every possibility. I think the way to look at this housing grant is not as, you know, baking it in the cake. Since we've got it, we're going to spend it. It's state money, great, but it's still taxpayer money. We're taking that very seriously in terms of getting as much out of it as possible. All that being said, as one of the committee members last night said, Jonathan Katz, was that, well, you know, it's a good thing that we have this housing grant, because that means somebody else is doing that work. Otherwise, it would be the nine members of the JPEG mm-hmm. sure to go out and do all that work.
Yep.
I guarantee you there's the bandwidth and the brain pans, mine aside, in that JPEG to do that kind of work. A number of consultants who know all of this stuff. But we're very mindful of the fact, as I said, there's a lot of challenges for the site. We're not going into this with leaning one way or the other. In fact, if I had to say, I think that we want to explore every possible option and get what we can out of the housing study, which was one of the discussions we had last night, was the scope of the RFP. You know, what are they actually going to be looking at? Can they look into other things, because it's housing money from DHCD, it doesn't sound like we can use it for other purposes, but like I said, we've got a lot of brain power in that room, and I think they will do their due diligence and make sure that they look at every possibility for this building. We also had Josh Morse last night, and he was very candid that, you know, he's not spent a whole lot of time in the building, but he wanted to give us his best estimate of, you know, what various alternatives might cost, which would be considerable no matter what reuse, repurposing you do for this. Right now it's just an armory, and they were built to withstand bombs. So,
Madam Chair, may I just
yes,
make one more request,
sure.
Which is you have, and I think it's good that we have expertise. I think that it's 100% right. But in the course of your deliberations, if you feel you need expertise to weigh other alternatives, I personally request that you'd ask the chair, communicate with President Albright, because I, for one, would be in favor of that. I want to make sure this is done thoroughly and that you're getting the resources you need to do it. So
this is a one-time opportunity. We want to make sure that we get it right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
A question that I have for anyone in the room that might know, Eamon, perhaps, do you know if this could be a hybrid project where you could have some housing and something else?
Unfortunately, no. So we confirm that with Mecan. It has to be.
It has to be 100% affordable housing. That's the way it's structured with DCAM selling it to us for a dollar. At least
okay.
That's what I.
So,
I think, Mr. Yeo, is that was your understanding as well from the meeting, right?
So if we had 75% affordable housing and 25% something else, we would still get it for 25 cents on the dollar as opposed to $1? Is that?
I think, if I may, I think the mix was different. If it was going to be, we can't do a mixed affordable, non-affordable housing project.
Right.
I think we could do a portion of the site for affordable housing standalone, just affordable housing, and then portion of the site for something else, but we'd have to negotiate with DCAM as to a purchase price and how it would get divided up.
That's fine.
Christina, is that your understanding as well?
I think we just need to be clear.
But
we need to be clear on that.
So,
yes,
unfortunately, that's not the direction we got from DCAM this afternoon. We spoke with their legal counsel again, and it's some other project managers on the project, and they see it as an either-or. So either we're purchasing it for a dollar for 100% affordable housing or a municipal use. They're not comfortable with a mix of uses.
So can I just ask a question? Because we sat with DCAM leadership, not just their legal counsel, 6 or 7 months ago about this. So I wonder if that's a hard and fast position or merely the position of legal counsel. And I think, I don't know who does it, whether it's the JPEG or the administration or the administration and the council together, but I think somebody needs to get that firmed up, because that was not the impression, at least I left the room with when we met with them. So
my recollection was that we didn't like really delve into that scenario, but let's confirm. We need to confirm.
I think I think Mr. Yeo, Madam Chair, it may be helpful to actually have you and President Albright and the administration do what we did last time, which is sit down with them, with their leadership, to discuss it, because I'm not doubting what they told you, but I don't think there's anything legally that prevents them from doing a hybrid here.
We need to make sure that the JPEG is clear on this from the get-go.
It's very important.
So that they have a handle on that. Good. Thank you very much. Are there any other? Oh, first of all, we're joined at the very beginning of the meeting by our chief
operating
officer, Jonathan Yeo. Thank you, Jonathan, for coming. If there is no other comment right now from the group. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, Chris and then Maria.
I just have a question. So I'm going to change the subject a little bit. I think that's really from Mr. Tessenahan. The historic, regardless of which way we go on this, we are still subject to historical commission review, at least locally and possibly. Is there any other? I know that we are now qualified to do a lot of that work ourselves. We have some designation assigned to us. I'm forgetting it off the top of my head. But regardless of which path we, without doing a decision tree here, regardless of which path we go, we're going to have to respect the historical review and have to deal with that?
Yes. Okay. I mean, it'll be several different agencies. As I said, the mayor's proposal involved leasing to a developer, but subsidizing the cost. If it's going to be 100% affordable housing, those are going to be subsidized units one way or another.
Right.
Where you don't have any market rate units that can subsidize them. So we were looking to state and federal historic tax credits. There may be other types of tax credits that are available, but that would mean that the Mass Historic Commission is going to be involved for sure. The MAAB will be looking at accessibility. It's a building that was built for soldiers and horses. So
most of us have been in it. We've walked in it.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got it. Did you go to the firing range?
No, but I thought about the combination bowling alley firing range thing. I think could be really intriguing.
They tell me there's pretty high lead count in it.
Yeah, very high. Even though they've tried to mitigate it by putting something like 12 coats of shellac on it.
But irrespective, the real question is, no matter what we do, we are going to have to deal with that, address that. It's going to cost money to deal with it regardless. So.
Yeah, and Josh Morse was really clear on that last night. Even if we just, he doesn't like the idea of buying it and keeping it vacant for a long period of time or only partially used. One of the things, for those of you who don't know, Josh was in the Navy. He understands the military, and he said, if we leave it in the hands of the reserve, they'll keep on mopping the floors and painting the walls and doing all the things they need to do right up until the very last moment, until they're told that they have to leave.
No unbusy hands in the military.
Right, so the minute you hand it over to the city, it's going to be, regardless what we do with it, it's going to be a cost.
The policing ends, the cigarette butts stay where they fall, and the weeds grow up through the pavement,
If it doesn't move If it moves, salute it. If it doesn't move, paint it.
Right.
Councillor Greenberg.
Well, my question was what you asked Vicki about the hybrid project, if that was possible.
Yeah. Okay, good. Any other comments from the the council? If not, then I'm going to open the public hearing so that we can hear comments from anyone who would like to speak. Please state your name and your address and speak loud enough so that we can catch you on the tape. Who would like to start? Yes.
Fran Godine. What else did you want? Address?
Name and address, Fran.
19 Crofton Road, Newton. I don't know how many people were at the Martin Luther King breakfast, but if you were, you were probably as inspired by Reverend Devlin Scott's address as I was. And the theme of that was, let's make room. And he was not referring to for our papers, as important as that is to have a space for that. He was talking about people. And I think that is the theme that we want to keep in mind here. This is such an opportunity. I mean, for one buck, to be able to do deeply subsidized housing in our city, it is unique. We're never going to see it again. Let's not blow it. As you see, I'm wearing an Engine 6 button because I was brought into, I guess, public life in Newton through Engine 6. And my concern for what was happening with the inability to welcome 9 formerly homeless people who were ready for housing with supervised mentoring. And we, as you may know, filed a complaint against the city for that because our previous mayor had pulled the funding so that we weren't able to have that project proceed even through the full process. The federal funding, I see you're making a face, David, but...
No.
Okay, sorry. But we... We don't want that blemish again. This is a great opportunity to do something wonderful in our city. We have people who get subsidized housing vouchers who can't find a place to live in. And we know where they go, to all of our neighboring cities. But we have a responsibility to try and keep our people here and give them this opportunity. So I hope that the committee will ultimately really take it seriously to let's make room.
Thank you very much, Ms. Godine.
I'm Kathleen Hobson, 128 Dorset Road, and I'm also from Engine 6. I forgot my button. But I basically just want to affirm what Fran said. Everything she said is what I would have said. It's an opportunity we shouldn't pass up. Deep affordability is hard to come by in a place like Newton, and this is the opportunity.
Thank you. This is Dr. Zollers. Absolutely. Come and join us.
Okay. I don't want to
come sit in.
What if Ann here comes back? I mean, Councillor Kelly comes
back. That's right. She can sit in your chair.
I'll move. How's that?
Oh, thanks. So, I'm Nancy Zollers, 154 Oliver Road. I have presents for you when I'm done, and they don't cost over $50, so you're all set. Engine 6 prepared this and gave it to all of the councilors the close of last year, and I only brought two copies, and maybe Councilor Danberg would make more. It's a two-page summary of the crisis we have in housing in Newton that I think you're obviously aware of, but this is really putting the numbers to the crisis. And I wanted to remind you that this is in your hands already, and it is from which we speak. Now, this is the third night.
I'll take that.
Oh, thanks. This is the third night I've been here at City Council this week, and I don't know if any of you were here last night when Joseph McNeil testified as housing as a moral issue, but you might want to get the tape. From the committee meeting last night. And, of course, this is a position that all of us have, but somehow Josephine's moral authority when she speaks it, feels deeper. And I think I just want to reiterate what Fran said with a little more passion. So Newton had a chance to house 9 formerly homeless individuals in a secure environment with a staff person in the 10th bedroom. And before that process was finished, the proposal was pulled. The proposal was pulled because the neighbors, some of my neighbors, were opposed to it, even though many of us in the same neighborhood thought this was a fabulous opportunity, since many of the 9 were from Newton. When the proposal was pulled, we began to organize as neighbors about what Newton meant to us. And did Newton mean a place where neighbors could decide if someone was allowed in their street or not? And so as we deliberated what happened in our neighborhood by our neighbors, we brought a HUD complaint. The people who were supposed to be in Engine 6 are people who were considered disabled because they were formerly substance abusers or have mental health issues. So the federal government through HUD determined that indeed there was discrimination by us, by this city, saying that those people could not live in my neighborhood. We have yet to make good. I don't know where those 9 people are tonight. Hopefully they're in an equally good project that we had in place in Waubun. But as hard as Amanda Berman and Engine 6 has worked, those 9 housing slots are still unavailable to the 9 people we didn't allow in Newton under a high-quality project. And so when I think about the armory, I think about the fact that we should probably make this work. Make it work for deeply affordable housing for formerly homeless or people who are at risk of homelessness, because we owe it to them after what we did 6 years ago. Having said that, I think it ought to be a high-quality affordable housing with services in place, and if we can't do that fiscally, if it's too expensive, I don't think we should do it. This should not be some place where you and I don't want to live. But if we can make this a place that is the kind of place we want to live with the kind of services that would support the people, then we're simply duplicating what we said as a community we would do 6 years ago. And it's time. Now, having gone to some of the JPEG meeting last night and trying to understand this project, this is going to be so expensive, whatever you decide to do. I mean, I'm thinking filings basement, right? $1, get a building, get it. For me, this is you just go for it. It's going to be remarkably expensive to figure out what to do with that building. But I encourage you to figure out how to make it a really, really good place for people who need deeply affordable options. And I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was very helpful.
Oh, these are my presents. So you could hang this in your office, and every day you can look at children's drawings of inclusive communities, and you'll know why it is we do what we do at Engine 6.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you, Dr. Zoller. Next, yes.
I'm Nora Sansweet, 281 Lexington Street, and I have to say, as a career librarian, I have archives and rare books, deeply stored in my heart. But I also find that the needs of people in our community are extremely important. That every time we have a lottery, and we don't have much affordable housing, and when we do have it, especially at $0.80 or, you know, it's, there's not much for the very low income levels of people in our community. And I'm confronted fairly regularly with that fact because of a charitable fund that I manage. And I would say a huge percentage of the requests that come through from desperate people through social workers, or the social workers, it's housing related. People, just this week, two families in danger of being evicted because they haven't been able to pay their rent. And so while we are a wealthy city, we also have a significant number of neighbors who are not wealthy and who in fact are very low income. And to me, if we have this opportunity and it works out through the study that it makes sense having a focus on housing for very low income people, I think would do a service to our neighbors.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sweet. Yes.
I'd like to sit here if I may.
Come and join us.
Tor Helgeson, 872 Watertown Street. I'm an abutter. And thank you for holding this this meeting.
And before you go on, Tor, I did want everyone to know that tonight's public hearing was advertised in the Boston Globe, and it was posted in City Hall, and I think everyone, all abutters within 300 feet, were notified.
Yeah, no, it was noticed. First off, I'm wondering if I could get a copy of the materials that were just handed out by Dr. Ellis and the other one as well. Thank you. I heard references to, I just have a question. JPEG stands for what?
Joint Advisory Planning Group.
It's JAPG, not JPEG.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard references to an RFP for a feasibility study, I'm assuming. Where can I get a copy of that RFP?
It hasn't been released yet.
It hasn't been released?
So, Amanda, that will be posted on the planning department.
Purchasing
department.
When you say release, just so we're clear, you don't have a completed draft.
Exactly.
I just want to clarify. So.
Okay, I'm sorry, what was your name?
Amanda Burton.
Okay. So in order to get a copy of that RFP, I would go on the purchasing department's website once it's completed. I understand it needs to be completed
It'll be posted. You can download it.
Okay. And the duration for that feasibility study will be what?
The duration is...
I mean, I heard a deadline. There's a six-month, 180-day deadline that was triggered December.
That's the JAPG report due in 180 days.
Right,
they can get an extension if they need it.
But the feasibility study that the consultant is going to prepare will inform the outcome of that report, I'm assuming.
Yes.
That's the whole purpose of putting it out for bid, correct?
Correct.
And will this be publicly advertised, or are there pre-qualified companies that will have the opportunity to propose?
We're generating a bid list to send to specific applicants should they express interest prior to the release. But once it's released, we'll be, you know, reaching out to network stakeholders to get as big of a pool of applicants to submit as possible to get the best, highest qualified applicant we can find.
And who is developing the scope of that RFP?
Planning Department will develop that.
Is there any indication when that RFP might be made public? Best guess.
February 5th.
Okay.
I mean, we're ready to go. The JPG, as Chairman Ted Pessingham mentioned, asked for another round of reviews. So their meeting is on Tuesday, February 4th. So our goal is to turn it around the next day. That's our goal. Purchasing department obviously is involved.
Sure.
So within a couple days of that.
Mm-hmm. And just to add on to that, the JPEG meetings are just like the committee meetings of City Council. They're all open to the public. So you're more than welcome to come and hear the discussion, what's in the RFP.
Did you set dates?
February 4th at 7 o'clock at night, and I'm not exactly sure which room we'll be in.
One of these rooms.
I believe it's 205.
Okay.
Okay.
And is that schedule on the planning department's website?
I don't know if it is or not, but
it is. We have a web page for the armory. So the next meeting is on the web page.
Okay. And your name is
Eamon.
Eamon. Ben Savengo.
Is that your last name or your first?
That's my first name. Last name is Ben Savengo. BenCivengo.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Tor. Yes?
I'm Nancy McKenna, 876 Watertown Street, and the armory is in my backyard, or I should say I'm in the armory's backyard. It's a little bigger. I'm towards my neighbor. So I'm basically just here to get some information, see what the thoughts are, and obviously concern for all of us in the street is last night's meeting with Mark Development and 244 apartments going next door, potentially. So just trying to hear what's happening. We're going to have definitely a parking issue, number one, with 244 apartments and 261 parking spots. They're going to park on our streets and on the side streets, and they're going to be like work line a couple blocks away from the public parking spots. So those are concerns, and there's no parking at the armory per se, so that's a concern.
I think there are, what, 33 spots, Eamon?
I'm not sure the number of spots at the armory.
Okay, I'll just presume
it's
a tight lot.
It's a tight lot.
Yeah.
The nursing homes. The building itself, I would love it to be bought for a dollar and keep archives in it, history. I think the cost to work it into something that's livable, once you get rid of the hazardous waste, and it's got teeny windows, I wouldn't want to live there, it's like, ooh. The cost may be prohibitive, maybe add on to another development, like down the street, I'm not sure if the apartments by Albemarle are low income, maybe it'd be cheaper to build a couple stories on top of that. We've got the footprint. But those are my concerns off the top of my bean. It is in my backyard. we've got a lot of stuff going on. 50 feet to away from my property line is the 244 apartments. On the corner is a new pot shop going in. And then I could throw a baseball to Washington Street that they want to make now one lane. So our heads are spinning right where we're living. It's like, geez, I didn't think, is somebody single-handedly trying to pull down the value of my house? But I don't really think that's it. But we've got a lot going on right now. So I'm just here to listen.
Good. Thank
you. Take it all in.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your comments. Next. No.
Okay. Thank you. I'm Howard Rosenoff. I live at 9 Vincent Street. I have prepared a very tight 2 minutes talk for you. Regrettably, you won't hear it because it's sitting on my kitchen table. if I appeared disrespectful by typing while other people were speaking, the reason was I was trying to remember the brilliant remarks that I thought of this afternoon. About for what it's worth, I'm a former National Guardsman in another state. I happen to be very familiar with National Guard armories in general. So the north side of Newton is getting a lot of development activity, as I'm sure everybody in this room knows. Newton Corner is getting its second large assisted living facility. Newtonville already has Austin Street up and running, so people are moving in. Washington Place isn't that far behind. As was just mentioned, for West Newton, last night's public hearing was 243 units proposed for 40B. The demolition for that has already started. I noticed today that there's a, and I've got a picture on the phone if anybody doesn't believe me, there's a fence around one of the buildings on Washington Street. Looks like they're ready to take it down. Last year, at the end of your last term, the city council, approved a vision plan which, if fully implemented and translated into zoning, could result in something like 3,000 new residential units along Washington Street between Newton Corner and West Newton. Tonight, across the hall, is discussion of landmarking, whether we'll be able to reserve some very historic, very valuable buildings against all the development that's coming. So I think we're doing our part. I think we're doing more than our part. And it seems to me that has been mentioned before, a lot of the development all over Newton is being focused on a relatively small part of the city. I would like to see a non-residential use found for the Armory. I think that to the extent that there is a housing crisis in the area, and to the extent that Newton is to take a lead role in addressing that housing crisis, all of Newton should participate. No part of the city should be privileged to have other people accommodate all of this development. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Ted, do you have anything to add? Are you?
I'm available to talk to any of my neighbors anytime they'd like. And I just want to reiterate that the JPEG meetings are open to the public. So we'll be opening it up for public comment. And hopefully at every meeting, save some time to do that so people have some concerns.
And every meeting, you will set the next meeting?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, we've actually got a couple meetings set up, but we just have, you've got nine people with all very busy schedules, so you know, we're trying to make it on a regular night. It's a Tuesday night, generally.
Good. Simon?
I have comments. I'm just not observation.
Name and address.
Simon French, 47 Glen Avenue. If you were to put deeply affordable housing in there, it's just a perception thing. You're putting deeply affordable housing people into a building that looks like a jail.
It looks like a what?
A jail. Then you could make it look like a castle.
Could be called a castle.
You put flags on it.
Okay. Councilman Wright, do you have anything that you'd like to say?
Chair Danberg, do you want to leave the public hearing open, or are you planning on closing it?
I don't have any problem with leaving it open. Uh-huh. There might not be a big reason to leave it open, because the next time that we're going to meet will be to accept the final report of the JAPG.
Respectfully, I'd ask that I wouldn't suggest we have another public hearing between now and then, but I do think once we get the JAPG report,
we ought
to have a public hearing at that time. If it's a separately scheduled public hearing, however you want to do it, that's
by,
fine.
By the ordinance.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
fine. Separate hearing,
yeah.
Mr. Clerk?
Does our clerk have a preference?
Then do it separately. It's fine. As long as
there will be a separate required fine. Public hearing, so it's
all
right. You can close this one.
I would close.
So we'll go ahead and close this one. And is there anyone else that would like to speak? Any other comments? One comment that I would say that I don't think appears in anything that we've read today is that these armories, there are a number of armories all over the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. These armories were built between around 1880 and 1920, this one having been built in 1910. They were put in neighborhoods and on small lots of land in many cases because it was expected that the soldiers, none of whom had cars in 1920, would walk to the armory from their neighborhoods. This is why these armories are right smack in the middle of neighborhoods and not out in a field somewhere. So as someone mentioned, and I think it was Ted, that this armory was built for soldiers and it was built for horses. the automobile was an afterthought that came much later.
Madam Chair, just one other observation for the JPEG. Lynn, for example, I know is or has turned theirs into a housing, and yes, that's obviously some place you want to look carefully.
That is one of the places.
But Somerville converted theirs, my understanding is, to community space. They sold it to a nonprofit developer, so that was different. But this arts, I think Natick is, there's at least half a dozen out there that, and maybe more. And so I just urge the committee to look at not just the most recent one, but all of them, judge the success, judge the failures. I think that would be educational.
We're going to try to stay inside 495, but yeah, we'll be looking at a number of other Massachusetts armories that have been successfully converted for other purposes.
Certainly you don't want to go all over, but even if there's ones in other parts of the state, at least perhaps a staff person can at least communicate what the uses are, because I think it'll be very valuable for us to get that perspective.
As long as I get a per diem.
Just one.
The same per diem you got when you were in the council.
Zero.
Councilor Wright.
I want him to double.
I'm sorry, you're next.
There's the architect across the hallway, part of the historical committee, that I don't know if he did personally, but his firm did, I think, the one up
there. Armstrong.
I believe that's who it is. So he's here. I mean, he's here today, right now.
We talked.
Okay.
There's one person that I noticed came in early on. Are you interested in making any comments? Okay. All right. Good. Councillor Kalitz.
So thank you. The comment that got me thinking really was the comment that somebody made about we're doing our part, and in this situation, Mr. Hesmahan, I really want to make sure that the JAPG looks at, and I don't know if it's within the RFP or not, the area where we're really not doing our part, which is 30 to 50% affordable housing. And we talked about a lot of this in zoning and planning in the past, over the past 6 years, and it's really difficult to attain that level with any type of development, whether it's 40B or even it's a large development. And I think that's a real opportunity in this location, and I want to make sure that we're studying that, that deep, so we can have a real perspective and can clearly decide if this is the right opportunity, because it is unique. I don't think that's an area where we're doing our part. I think that's an area where we can do a lot more, and it's an area that's been frustrating me, because we time and time again can't get that low. So I just want to make sure that you're looking at that.
We're going to go over the RFP next week, week after next, at the next meeting, and Amanda's here, so she heard you.
Good.
But thank you.
Okay, yes, although we've closed the public hearing, I will let you make a comment.
I just wanted to say to the my neighbor over there about property values. When we researched for Engine 6, that opportunity, property values was one of the concerns people had, and that's a serious concern. And we researched it through many of the state organizations like CDAC, and I'm forgetting what that acronym stands for, but somebody knows.
Community
development. Yes.
I sit on it.
They do national data, and the finding there was that in a blighted area, if affordable housing comes in, property values actually rise. In an area like Newton, property values remain the same because it's your land. So we were very reassured for ourselves and our neighbors. I lived in Wabin when this was a possibility, that we were going to be fine. Our investment, our hard work was going to be stable. It wasn't about our property values. There may be certainly other concerns that need mitigation and thought, but I just wanted to share that fact that we had uncovered.
About 10 years ago, Chairman's comment, about 10 years ago, the house next door to me, that is a very large, I would have to call it a mansion-sized house, was purchased and turned into a group home for 14, with 14 rooms, 14 bedrooms. There was two little apartments put into the basement for the staff that change off, and they have been wonderful neighbors. These are young people who have disabilities ranging from Down syndrome to schizophrenia to former substance abuse. It has been incorporated beautifully into the neighborhood. It has not dropped my property values at all, and we're thrilled that we can have it in our midst.
Do you happen to know the address?
40 Chase Street. I'm at 30 Chase. Yeah, 40 Chase. Please do drive by, anybody. Take a look.
You can park at Vicky's driveway.
You can park in my driveway.
She won't
get
your toe either.
Okay. I think if we have no more discussion...
Vote to close the hearing.
Oh, we have to vote to close the hearing, of course. So may I have a motion to close the hearing? Chris, all those in favor? It's unanimous. Good.
You adjourned?
I want the committee, first of all, to know that the armory issue is now in the hands of the JPEG. When they have filed their report, which could be 180 days from now, we will reconvene and we will take this matter up again. Motion to adjourn. Did we do that? Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you all for coming. And thank you.